But whatever you want.
You've told me more than once you've gotten in trouble for calling me dad.
Yes, there has. But yeah. Then some people are still like, oh, that's your dad? That happens all the time.
Yeah, I had it happen, I think, after church on Sunday. I was like, did you see Summer? You mean theologians? Yeah. She here? Yeah. Over there, it's my daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's
whatever.
Yeah.
Good team. I don't know. Good team.
But no, evidently, yesterday there was a cry. There, someone cried at the SBC yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And therefore,
believe all women or something.
Well, but therefore, the person who allegedly made her cry should not be president of the SBC.
Yeah.
And the thing that scares me is how many people actually
believe that
yeah. and don't do any digging in and just simply go, if you make someone cry, you are a bad person. And I don't remember the first time I ran into this form of argumentation being used against me, but I would struggle responding to it without just going, what grade are you in?
Yeah.
Type of a situation. And yet it seems to work really, really well for a lot of people. And that seems to be what's going on at the SEC too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, since you're saying it, this person was, I think, is just clearly being used.
Okay.
She's very popular on Twitter.
Really? I had never heard of her.
I know. She came out of nowhere. I had an either. She needs a lot of help. There were suicide attempts in her past. Mm. She left the faith very publicly in May. And then it was just really convenient that, 6 hours before this statement that she signed, I think it's one of the resolutions about supporting sexual abuse survivors. Mm-hmm. And her name was put on it. And then, 6 hours before it was supposed to go live, suddenly she finds her faith again. She hears from Jesus. She goes to the SBC with reporters, approaches Mike Stone. There's all these photos. There's more than one way to use women. And it
smells like a setup.
Strikes me. And, I feel for her. I don't think she should be used this way.
Okay.
I think if she seems to really be struggling genuinely with her faith, and she should not be a prop in getting resolutions passed. She should be being protected. She should be counseled. Like, there should be people around her that aren't using her for a photo op, and it's just really sad.
Well, I hadn't seen the thing from May where she was talking about basically being faith and things, so she could heal and things like that. And
yeah.
It's like, these things are supposed to be handled
in a certain way,
in a certain context where people would actually know everybody that's involved. And once you drag it outside of that, it just becomes a royal mess. And yet, that's exactly, I've said this a million times before, so I apologize for saying it again, but when you buy into the cosmic justice now idea, that there's not going to be justice done on that day, that everything has to be done now, then what happens is you don't trust biblical parameters for how these things go. And so you have to bring in outsiders, you have to bring in unbelievers, you have to... local church just isn't enough because, hey, it's true. There have been bad local churches and there have been bad. I mean, the SBC isn't the best in having a robust ecclesiology. I'll just be straight up front about that. The SBC tends to emphasize, the deacon board model with the pastor is sort of a hireling type thing. And that pastor can end up with a massive amount of power. And so there's a potential for abuse there. No question about it. So what do you do in light of that? Well, if you don't believe that someday justice will be done in the most appropriate and proper way, that is at the Esteban, then you have to throw out the biblical standard and come up with a new way of doing things. And that's what people are saying you need to do because, hey, if we keep doing things the old way, someone might get away with it. And if you really have bought into, this is it, you die, that there's nothing after that, then I understand why you try to do cosmic justice when you don't have the ability to do cosmic justice. But that's when you start arguing against that silly biblical thing called due process and stuff like that, and you know, because that helps people get away. Well, the biblical standard is you do not convict an innocent person, and the guilty may get away with it in this life, but they will not get away with it before the throne of God. And that actually informed our entire way of thinking and law for a long, long time, and now it doesn't inform it at all in our society, and evidently not in the church. So I am obviously disappointed to see the, it's like watching the last 2 months before a general election in the United States, all the same kind of political maneuvering and poisoning and everything else going on. It's going on in the SBC. And this is not just the SBC. There's politics in every single denomination. Let's just be honest. It's a given. That's just the way it is. So, but they're using a lot of the stuff that you all have been talking about for a long time, as far as you're seeing the intersectionality coming in and intersectional exegesis and hearing differing voices and all the rest of this type of stuff. It's just everywhere. And it could not have just happened since 2018. The preparation was being done. The land was being prepared long before this. And did you hear Doug's blog and A-blog where he talked about Baptist baseball?
No.
Oh, you missed a fun one there.
Yeah, I guess I did. Baptist baseball.
He commented on the Russell Moore letters that were leaked.
Yeah, okay. I did read that. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was only semi-tongue-in-cheek. He was just basically saying, you know, this sort of looks like it was really intentional. And if this is the case, then if this, all this terrible, horrible stuff is going on, how come Russell Moore wasn't saying anything about it before he left the ERLC?
Yeah.
Just real basic Baptist baseball.
Uh-huh.
It's not just Baptists who play baseball. I mean, there's Presbyterian baseball. There's all kinds of different levels of Presbyterian baseball.
Because I think the General Assembly is going on also, or it's about to be going on.
Which one?
For the PCA.
PCA? Or?
I think the PCA General Assembly going on as well.
They're not nearly as excited. Because you understand that there is a chance of a fist fight at the SBC.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No. It is a little bit less exciting.
But it's going on. So, yeah, it's that time of year. And so I'm going to be watching it very, very closely, and I'm sure that most everybody else is tuned into that right now, unless you've just thrown your hands up in despair and gone, oh, never mind. Because last I was seeing was Tom Askell arguing that there needed to be a discussion about these things, that many people had come to have that discussion, and that they were basically being ruled out of order. And so if that's the best way in the world to create a split, is if you know all these people have come, and I think they have a record number of people. If you know all these people have come, and then you say, yeah, well, we're not really interested in
that.
We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And they're just going to go, well, we are going to talk about that, and it's just going to be under a different banner, and bye-bye. And unfortunately, what always ends up happening then is all the buildings and the institutions that have been built up for years and years and years end up in the hands of the people on the left, and the people on the right have to go and rebuild everything again, and 35 years later.
Start strip mall companies?
Yeah. That's sort of how it ends up going, which right now, and given what's going on in our country, probably isn't all that bad an idea. The smaller your footprint and the smaller your target. Though, to be honest with you, I was looking at, what was the gentleman's name? I was not looking at that. Oh, hey, look at that. We're on Twitter, dude.
Oh, great. Trying not to leave my notifications.
Chris Honholtz tweeted a screenshot of us, but the pastor up in, I had it saved, but you know how that works with Twitter. Twitter hates me. Pastor Tim Stevens.
Tim Stevens. In Calgary.
Okay, so you saw this picture.
Yeah.
But I, just a few minutes ago, I actually listened to the audio.
Oh.
There was audio of this.
Okay.
And he started talking to the cops. And this guy, this very guy.
The cop.
Argued back to him that Jesus said, where two or three of you are gathered together, there I am with you.
Oh.
So he wants to try to redefine the church as just two or three. And you know what? He's not alone in doing that. That's the sad thing, is that there have been many evangelicals that have given him that same idea.
Yeah.
But it was, well, Jesus also said, two or three are gathered, I'm with him. But we're not going to talk about that. We're just here to do our job. So he throws out the quote, isn't interacting with what Pastor Stevens said about the gathering of the church, and it's not just two or three, and then immediately defaults to the first one. And I saw another one of the reporters followed, after they dragged him off, one of the reporters followed two of the cops, including the lady cop, back to their car, and he asked the question I would like to ask, and that why are you doing this? Is this why you became a cop? To arrest people like this? And the lady said, no, it's not. And then just got up.
That was a lady cop?
That was a lady cop. Said, no, it's not.
Wow.
So, look, I'm sure they do not enjoy this.
Some of them.
But when is one of them going to finally stand up and say, I'm not going to do this? I'm not going to do this. And
well,
it's like,
your job's on the line.
That's the point. They've got a mortgage. And when you simply say, yeah, but I've got to pay the bills, and how is that any different than every other abusive situation in the past where people have said, well, you know, okay, I'll be the jackbooted thug because I got to pay my bills.
Right.
Sort of destroys the, wow, we're so thankful for you running to the danger type thing.
Yeah.
Because it's just become a matter of paying your bills instead. So pray for Pastor Tim Stevens and his family. Second time he's been arrested. And they were, the thing that I think people need to recognize, they were meeting with people. They were not meeting in a building.
And I did not know that.
Yes, they were meeting in secret. So they're arresting.
How did they get caught?
Well, I don't know. But there is a long history, sadly, of, under the Soviet Union. That was one of the greatest dangers, was when someone expressed a desire to meet at your secret location. Who were they? And could you trust them? There were many, many times people betrayed. Many, many times people betrayed.
I'm just convinced that no one my age thinks that this could happen here. So even though it's happening just across the border, I think most of my peers are like, well, that's Canada.
That's Canada,
so it's not, that's not America. I think that's what most people my age think. So, yeah, that's not going to bode well for us, is it?
No. It's the exact same argumentation, the exact same situation exists here. And I've not been able to follow up on it, but the woman who was going to criticize the Michigan Attorney General and appear on Tucker Carlson, did you hear about this?
Uh-uh.
Who was arrested and dragged off to jail.
For what?
Because there are certain states where as long as the same party is in control of every aspect of state government, they can do whatever. And they will do it. And it's in the United States too. As well as in Alberta. So if you think it won't happen here, we've got one or two little hurdles they gotta jump over a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I know last year I was sitting there going, man, the cops, how many of them are really, I mean, who becomes cops? But the people who, you know, believe in the Constitution, you know, stuff like that.
No.
And, no.
Everyone that I know.
No.
No.
Oh, I've known those guys, and sure. I sort of thought they were the
I don't think they're the majority anymore.
No, not anymore. It doesn't need to be the majority. If it was 15%, it would make a difference.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not. So anyway, so there's the SBC stuff, and that's stuff going on there, and pray for Pastor Stevens and his family. I mean, it's gotta be pretty rough on the kids and things like that. I mean, they're gonna grow up with a very serious faith. Let's just put it that way. If you see Dad being dragged off, more than once, you're gonna grow up with a pretty serious faith. And maybe that will be helpful for a lot of folks, to grow up with a pretty serious faith in that way. So you never saw me dragged off, so I apologize.
Just dragged on the internet. Well,
that is every day. That is every day. In fact, I had a dear brother, who, you know, who it was, since I mentioned it, but a dear brother at church. Was that last night?
No, today's Tuesday.
Oh, okay. That was the night before last.
Yeah.
Okay. Tuesday.
Fine. Yeah.
This is going to be a wild week. Anyway, I had a brother talking to me and basically apologizing for having gone postal at some people. I got upset with some people because they were coming after me. And I am currently the apostate du jour in certain Facebook pages and groups and things like that. And I don't see most of it. You seem to see more of it than I do. I'm not sure what it is. But I have.
Send it to me.
Oh, people send it to me?
Yeah.
They're afraid to send it to me.
I don't know. It's a no.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
Well, I do need to know sort of what's going on a little bit.
Good, you guys.
Yeah. So, but no, he was saying that. How do you handle when people are just? I mean, you've been in ministry for coming up on 40 years, and you've got all this long track record teaching this, that, and the other thing, and then all of a sudden one little thing comes up. And they're just willing to just, you're gone. You're history. You're done. We don't want you around anymore. We don't want you part of our club, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just sort of like, well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You give to people, you give credit to people's criticism that their life and ministry demands. So if it's a faceless, nameless person on the internet,
yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, if Jeff comes to me and says, you blew it, okay, that he's got standing to be able to say something like that. But people who have no earthly idea who I am, and the vast majority of people think that I am the most straight-laced, boring, sit-around reading Greek all day type person. And then they ask you, and they don't believe you.
No, I think most of the problem right now is that you Reformed folk are very we're very tribal, and I think if you accept the wrong crowd, then all of a sudden you're just playing for the wrong team.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think, you know, a lot of people want to believe that since you're at Apologia now that you've changed, and I think you're not really at the cool kids table, and so that means that you're allowed to be misunderstood. And I just can't tell you how often, you know, I come across things, and I do think because you've been doing this for so long, and because your focus is apologetics, and there's a lot of people who don't understand that. They have a very kind of like ivory tower philosophical,
yeah.
Like they study it for the sake of enjoying philosophy and not so much putting feet on it. And I do think that makes a really big difference in how you view things. And at the end of the day, I think that you've been doing this for so long, and you are so unbothered. So long. You're so unbothered that I think people read that as like flippancy.
Yeah.
Whereas you just have a different focus, and I think you are obnoxiously consistent. Like, I can't get you to do anything new. I can't even get you to eat anything new. and you so haven't changed.
I'm trying to think of something that I've eaten recently that was new, and I really get it.
No, there's three meals I can make for you. It's tacos and pasta. Just kidding. And then tacos again. And also pasta. And that's pretty cheeseburgers. Anyway, the point is I think that there's just a lot of the philosophy versus the apologetic. You are so much more about what you do with your philosophy than just philosophy for the sake of philosophy, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. But you know, like you were saying, Jeff was saying the other day too, like there's criticism that we should take, and we should take criticism seriously from people that we know have life behind it. They have action behind it. They're doing things with their philosophy. They're putting legs on their beliefs. And if that's not something that you're busy doing, then your criticism just doesn't really, it's not something to really take very seriously. And that doesn't say, that's not to say like that the person saying it isn't worth anything. But what are you doing? If I'm doing this so wrong, show me how it's done right. And I would love to see how it's done right if I don't know what that is anymore.
Well, you posted a meme, I think on Facebook or Twitter or maybe both, I don't know, where you
about said, garlic?
No. Okay. Well, you did do something about garlic, yes. You did.
That's the important stuff.
Oh, okay. But you asked Eric about what the dust stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
About simplicity.
Yeah.
And what I think is the inappropriate Thomistic extension of the true doctrine, which is very common in the West, but we'll talk about it. Unfortunately, we'll probably end up having to talk about it a whole lot more than people want to talk about it in the future. Anyway, and you posted the picture of the lady just
getting her back leaving.
Yeah, doing the eye roll and walking away.
Yeah.
Because I guess you didn't find the topic to be uber simple.
I just thought it was so, I know what you believe, and so I've just seen so many people saying the most insane things that are not grounded in reality. And again, I do think some of it's miscommunication, a lack of, you know, having context maybe, I got my ancestors from somewhere.
That's the right thing.
Yeah.
I know
that. Yeah. Well, some of it's that, but it's so painful to see people that we have the same worldview, we have the same conclusion, and like, it's friendly fire. Like, why are we shooting our own? And I think a lot of people have the background of like, well, I've been in churches where this doctrine was abused or it wasn't taught, therefore I need it to happen this way, I need it to be talked about this way. And it just seems so unhelpful. I can't believe what I'm seeing coming from people. Yeah,
but to be honest, with this subject, I challenge you to find almost anyone who was at a Reformed conference from 1985 to 2015 who spoke on this subject.
Yeah.
It happened. But now it's the new thing. We tend to get really focused on
really exciting.
Oh, this is exciting, and I've never seen this before, and this is important. And then 10 years later, you're going, remember when? And they're like, what?
And we're all mad about this thing.
Yeah, it's like, oh, no, not really. Oh,
yeah. Okay.
That's one advantage of age. It's one of the reasons I think I don't just get all worked up about stuff. Is I'm like, yeah, but
that's
20 years ago, it was
something else,
and everybody was all excited about stuff back then too. And
right.
5-10 years from now, we're going to be going, what were you talking about?
Right. Anybody remember the emergent church?
yeah. I do.
But right. Like
they're still out there. They just morphed into something else.
Right.
They got swallowed up in something else. So, Sheologians has been going a whole lot longer than you ever thought it would. Let's just put it.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
And so now you have discovered that you have to find a way to start recovering ground, but doing it in a way you didn't quite do it last time, finding new ways of communicating people and stuff like that. It's not all that easy, is it?
It's not that hard.
Oh, see? There you go. Well, all right. We're done with that conversation pretty quick. Not all that hard.
I just mean, my honest, I think Joy and I are, my honest take now is that things have changed so much culturally and in the church since we started. That
was only 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, it came up on 5 in September. Five in September, because we started on September of 2016. And of course, that's when a lot of things changed. And I think there was a time when we first started where we thought what we needed to be was, we needed to speak persuasively about what we believe. And that's just not the case anymore. And what I mean by that is that, we're not so interested in changing people's minds, but I just want to encourage people.
Oh.
So our audience they're extremely well read. They know the faith. They know the confessions. We do book clubs. We do book clubs. They're extremely well read. They're smart women. And what I'm finding is that so many Reformed women are hurting for real community and discipleship.
Mm.
We have so many listeners in Canada who haven't been to church since last year. And so they want community, they want discipleship, they're not getting it from their churches. It's super sad. And I don't know, I guess just I'm not so concerned about convincing anyone of anything. What I want to do and what Joy wants to do is to just encourage women. Like, here's how you live like a Christian. And so that, I mean, you can talk about that forever.
You don't feel any pressure to be coming up with novel new stuff?
No. I don't, listen, if I come up with something new, it's probably wrong. Like, I don't want to come up with anything new or novel. I want to express the same ancient faith well. And it's when people discover new doctrine and new things that there tends to be a problem. So, no, Joy and I, we're not interested in doing that at all. And, of course, our biggest problem remains that sometimes we want to do, like, I'm going to cover a really weird true crime story in a couple weeks. Because sometimes I want to. Like, I want to tell you about this weird thing that happened in the woods. And, like, you know, sometimes that's what we want to talk about, and so, but, you know, sometimes your brain needs a break, all right? and we have a good time doing that. But, yeah, I don't have that pressure anymore. In 2017, I wanted to be persuasive because I saw critical race theory. I saw intersectionality. It always happens in the women's groups first. And so I saw it there, and I wanted to persuade people. I wanted them to know what it was. I wanted them to stay clear of it. And that really brought about the split, because I had a lot of listeners that absolutely hate us now because we took that stance back in 2017. And that, you know, it's sad, but that's fine. Bye.
Oh, we've lost folks over decades. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah,
there's lots of, I can't tell you how many people love to come up to me and say, I was once a big fan, but now I'm, and then, you know, name a religion. That's somehow meant to be an argument. Like, I've proven you wrong by going in another direction.
I had someone tell me they're a Catholic because of you.
Oh. Well, I've had lots of former Catholics tell me they're not Catholics. But,
Cool. So that's nice of you. But yeah, you know, I just feel like if you're in ministry right now, or if you want to be busy at your church, like, what people need the most right now is discipleship, and they need that first and foremost by knowing their Bibles. Like, if you can just, if what is Christian? Thank you guys. Okay. Remember how the Reformation really happened because people could read the Bible? Like, if Christians were just, like, in their Bibles and committed to their churches, like, just think of the revival that would happen. Like, you want to, people, like, put up tents when they want revivals, but it's like, just go home and read your Bible and get other people to read their Bibles and then do that in community and, like, things are going to change. And that's really our focus now is, like, how do we encourage Christians to look like Christians? What else is there? I don't know. What else is there?
Bible revival.
Bible revival.
There you go. Yeah. Did you see the second part of Jeff's conversations with, kept queuing it up and I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Was it great.
Was it good?
Yeah, you should totally listen to it.
I need to.
He did a great job that first time.
Especially because he had been attacked by some Reformed folks for the first one.
He's just
fired off.
That's what's going to happen with your, yeah. Yes, no, it was fantastic. Really, really excellent discussion. Got more into worldview issues, which is obviously the stuff that I think Jeff is strongest on. And he did a fantastic job. Super encouraging.
Who's that over there? Where's Clementine?
You want to say hi?
Want to say hi to my audience? Don't act like you're crazy. See, there's a camera right there and thousands of people looking at you.
She just wants to find her charger.
She wants to find her charger. Is that your Super Nintendo thing?
It's Mario.
Mario Kart? Oh, okay. Well, you go find your charger. The reason why you say
because
you've been under the dividing line before, in fact, when you were only two. You don't remember it, but your first words on the dividing line, do you remember?
Shoes
off.
Shoes off.
Shoes off.
Yeah.
Shoes off.
That was pretty cute.
Yeah, because you still had your shoes on and you felt like you should take them off. So, shoes off is the first thing you said. So, to find your
shirt. Love you.
Try to get it. You can't stop her talking at other times, but then one time you want to.
This isn't the topic she wants to talk about. It's not Minecraft, so.
Oh, which I don't absolutely nothing about. Okay. I could not ask.
Keep it that way.
Yeah.
Keep it that way.
Probably best.
Yep.
Probably best. Yeah, no, I, obviously much has changed over the past few years, and it's going to take a lot of wisdom to know how to. Right now, we still have access to people. And so, if you look at what Apologia Studios is putting out, you've got Theologians and Apologia Radio and Cultish and all the other programs that are being worked on and special stuff and regular stuff and Zach's program and all the stuff that we're doing. And it's great to be able to put that stuff out there. But the time's coming. The time is simply coming when that's not going to be allowed for the obvious reason that it'll be considered to be hate speech. And what are we going to do then? How are we going to have, if you haven't already established sources of sound teaching and encouragement locally, and I realize there are some of you in some rough places. I mean, just you sort of feel like you're pretty much alone out there. And I get it. That's why I've been saying for a long time, you need to be downloading stuff, archiving stuff. If they're in my debates or stuff like that, if you find them to be useful, you need to have them on jump drives. You need to have those jump drives in static bags. And maybe not just left out in the open. You need to be archiving stuff because right now it's so easy for you just to go, oh, I'll just look at it on YouTube or whatever. It may not be there tomorrow. I mean, you just don't know. But the point is, I'm also concerned about folks who, I'm glad that we can provide this service. I'm glad that we can talk to people. I'm glad that we can be encouragements and the dividing line's been that around the world for decades now. But if we're not building a foundation for the future, if it always has to be, what have you done for me now? I think that's a problem in amongst Reformed evangelicals, if that's a nice broad term we can use. It's the what have you done for me now syndrome, which I think is across the culture that's coming to the church. Instead of really looking at people who have proven themselves over time It's the, yeah, well, you know, here's something new over here. Here's something new over there. No. Who's the people who've been consistent over time and laid solid foundations? But that's where it's at, and that's what's going to last through whatever it is we're going to be enduring in the next generations. That kind of has something that's got real foundation to it. And I'm not going to sit here and say, I know exactly how that's to be done. We've just sort of mumbled and stumbled our way through it, because I'm going to tell you, when I was your age or even younger, which I was once, I know it's hard for you to remember, but.
Well, I'm old now.
yeah. Well, if you've got.
Yeah, I'm old now.
So I'm getting hand signals from,
Which one?
Commenting on your.
That I'm old.
No, actually she was saying no.
Oh, okay.
So.
She wants candy.
She doesn't like sharing.
Yeah, she wants something.
Anyway, in the 1980s, you did not have this scenario. You did not have the idea of ministering in a world where you wouldn't know who boys and girls were. Mm. Where marriage had been completely, not only redefined, but redefined out of existence, in essence, and turned into something completely different.
Mm.
And you did not even foresee. Some people did. Francis
Schaeffer
did. Schaeffer did. Rush Dooney did. And there were lots of fiction writers who nailed it long, long ago. But that wasn't a part of our reality. I wasn't raised to think about my great-great-grandchildren.
Well, maybe that's why we're in the place that we're in.
Yeah.
Maybe not thinking generationally is having a cascading effect on the culture.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that's not the case. I think there's lots of things my generation didn't do. I'm not sure it's so much the things that we did as the things that we didn't do.
Huh? Yeah.
And the emphases that we did not have because there was sort of a ceasefire with the culture, in essence. There was a, it was more of a Cold War, but it wasn't much of a war at all. And I think that's where the myth of neutrality became so universal amongst the thinking of so many Christians, that, you know, we just got our sphere and you've got your sphere and everything's going to be cool and we don't have to make any claims about what's supposed to be going on in your sphere of things and all the rest of that kind of stuff. So,
hand signals.
What that was. A little distraction there off the side. It's great having munchkins around. I think that does explain how things have changed so much and are changing so rapidly even now. And so for most of us, it's like we're in uncharted waters. And that's why I try to be as gracious and as granting of grace to people who are struggling with these types of things, is because none of us can claim to have the final word on exactly how we're supposed to handle every little bit of this cultural revolution. It's finding that balance, because we obviously have people that are trying to drag us off into Nana Land on this side. And then you've got the other people on this side that are just loading up flamethrowers and are ready to take on all the brothers and sisters and treat them that way. Finding that balance, non-compromising and yet gracious.
Yeah.
That is, I've said many times, I think that is the mark of Christian maturity, is when you actually find for yourself and for your family and for your church where that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. That is not a simple thing.
I think my peers have a really hard time understanding that this team criticizing a person and an idea.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's all one thing because of the fact that we don't understand identity anymore. We think that whatever you express is who you are. Which I do understand in one sense, what you do is who you are. That's okay. I get that. But you can criticize what somebody believes without hating that person. And people don't understand that now. They don't believe that, because how they feel is who they are. What they think is who they are. We lost our grounding and our identity as being image bearers of God. And now everything is, you have to make yourself, you have to self-actualize. And so if you're expressing an idea and somebody challenges that idea, they're actually not challenging the idea. They must be challenging you. And so that's where, you know, we were at Target yesterday, and sometimes it's like, what is pride? And so,
did you do this really loudly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then January was like, that girl is wearing a really inappropriate shirt, really loudly. And then she was like, oh, someone in a mask? And I was like, I'm getting out of here. Anyway, all of that to say, you know, I just had to explain that what pride says is these people want to express themselves in this way, and we are supposed to be proud of them for expressing themselves in this way. And it doesn't matter that that way is sin. All that matters is that you're allowed to express yourself. And so I think one difficulty that we have in dialogue right now is that, you know, when you say something like, I try to be as gracious as possible, anybody whose ideas that you criticize are going to be like, well, not to me. He's not gracious to me. Because there's this strong catechism that if you criticize an idea, you're actually criticizing the person as a person. And if you disagree with their idea, you disagree with that person's personness. That's
or
just
value,
or value. Or, like, and that's, you know, I had a public dialogue with this very famous trans person. And while I was trying to discuss the idea of transgenderism, what they kept saying to me was, you're ignoring my existence. It's like, no. I don't agree with what you believe. That doesn't mean I don't believe that you exist, but those are the same thing now. And so the identity issue is a big one. And as reformed people, like, we have to reject that at all costs. We have to absolutely reject that. We cannot. And it's hard because you are immediately sucked into a conversation you never wanted to have. So while I told somebody, I told somebody yesterday, they just like posted this screenshot of this very he said, she said thing. And I was like, look, this is gossip. And what I got in response was like, so you approve of sexual abuse.
Right.
And it's like, now I'm in a conversation that I never would have set out to have. And honestly, there's a part of it where it's just like, it's dirty. Like, it's like, hey, come, like, roll in the mud with me, because now we're going to do this weird ad hominem thing where it's like, gentlemanly behavior would require that you not have just dragged me in the mud. Like, you didn't deal with what I said. You made a horrible, unfounded accusation, and now I have to defend. I'm not going to defend myself against that accusation because it's so ridiculous. And that's just kind of where our discourse is now.
Yeah, well, you did have one advantage in your upbringing, is the emphasis upon the necessity for logic is always, and I emphasize that when you all were young, and I emphasize that whether you're male or female. I don't buy the woman doesn't do logic thing. It's all this emotion thing. I think it's just simply a matter of becoming an adult.
It's maturity.
It's
not gender. Yeah. It's, are you mature or not?
Right. Yeah, that's, so, unfortunately, most people either just stay out of the conversation anymore because they don't want to be dragged into that because they know it's exactly what's going to happen. Or they end up becoming extremely frustrated, or they end up just going, you know what, I can't defend this, and so I'm just going to go along with it. And yeah. I'm going to do the thing that's going to make it easiest for me to get along. We're going to be seeing more and more people doing that.
Well, there's no neutrality. That's the problem. There is no neutrality. We're not, I think if you look at this SBC stuff right now, the problem isn't that they disagree on these details. The problem is they have two different worldviews.
Yeah.
This is a worldview issue. I have more in common with a Presbyterian Reformed lady than I do with anybody in the SBC who has bought into this worldview of intersectionality and critical theory. Like, doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Presbyterian, this is a complete worldview split. I don't know how the SBC can survive it.
And the same question has to be posed to the PCA.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is not a denomination that is in any way, shape, or form safe from disinfection. And you already see it deeply in the PCA, and shockingly, you're starting to see it even in the OPC, which I would have figured absolutely impossible, but I'm sorry. As long as you gather people together, it doesn't matter. You know, the big error that, one of many errors that I have confessed to is the fact that I thought that sola scriptura would be the mechanism whereby this type of stuff would be kept out of practicing the Reformed churches. And I suppose if it was really being applied, it would function in that way. But how do you force people to apply it is the problem. And so we're seeing it absolutely everywhere. And that's because we live in this culture. This culture impacts us, and this culture, over time wears you down. And it's not the compelling nature of the arguments of the other side. I'm sorry. There are no, when it comes to whether there are males and females and stuff like that, that's a pretty given, you know. I mean, I've never seen a compelling argument for transgenderism or anything even close to it, Christian or non. I mean, secular, whatever. But the reason people give into it is just simply over time, you're worn down. You just, you know, when Islam took North Africa, it wasn't that all the Christians just simply said, hey, this is a better system, we'll go ahead with that. It was generation after generation, year after year, not being able to get the better jobs, being limited to poverty. And it's like the ocean coming up against the rocks. Eventually you pound those rocks in the sand. And that's what happened. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing happening. And I don't think it's so much that there were just a whole bunch of people in our churches that wanted to all of a sudden embrace some kind of wild fear worldview. It's just, it seems to be the easiest way to get along and just keep on going. And unfortunately, a lot of people are doing that. That's sort of sad to observe. But we keep trying to say,
that's a dead end.
And look, you know, the Lord's still in charge of his church. He's gonna take care of things. Hey, did you know that I'm gonna be traveling?
I didn't know that, yeah.
You didn't know that.
I don't know where you're going first, though.
Well, I'm not gonna be flying around the world. That was a lot of fun when I did it. And I look at that world map over there. This is sort of part of the homeschooling stuff here at Summer's Place. And so I'm looking at the world map over there, and I'm looking at all the places that I've been to just over the past couple of years, and all the good friends I have. I'm looking over at Germany and Scotland and South Africa. I can guarantee you one thing. I'm not going to Australia as long as the people that are,
nay,
as long as those jackbooted thugs are roaming the streets. Oh my goodness. Or Canada. I'll be honest with you. I'll have to be honest with you. I haven't been to Canada in a long time. And one of the main reasons was the first time I went, which was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
The first time I went, I go walking up to one of the border people, and I've landed, I don't remember where it was I landed, but I've landed in some airport. And man, the third degree that I got from this, what are you doing here? And what's your business? And it's just like I'm like,
it's not right. They're like, this guy is so American.
Oh, of course they
were sending him back.
It almost did. And so it wasn't the first time that I had that kind of authoritarian from people in Canada, and now it's just coming out big time, sadly, in how they're behaving. But anyway, so I don't get to visit all those brothers and sisters anymore. I'm looking up in Norway and looking at all these places. But it's gonna be a while before the United States makes it impossible for you to even like walk out your front door and get a car and go someplace. We just have that culture that it might happen in Massachusetts or, okay, all right, Oregon, Washington, yeah, I can see the CCP, you know, taking over there real, they sort of have already. Portland and yeah, places like that. Oof, sorry for you guys. Every time someone visits Apologia and they're from anywhere on the left coast, I'm just like, wow, do you think they'll let you back in?
Yeah.
Well, enjoying your freedom while you're here. Everybody's like, yes.
Well, we play the license plate game.
I noticed as we were going back up there.
Yeah, which is like, where you
see, California.
Yeah, if you see an out-of-state license plate. Well, the game is, if you see an out-of-state license plate, you say the state and punch the person next to you.
I was going to say, you're supposed to hit people with this.
I didn't tell my kids about the second part. Like, I just was like, you win if you say it first.
They don't know about the punching. So we've taken the violence out, see?
So I'm not a pacifist, but when it comes to my kids in the back seat, I guess.
Yeah, because that was never really wise. No. I don't remember any time that it didn't result in some type of
discipline. No. So all that to say, my kids know that we have a mass influx of California, Washington, Oregon, and Minnesota. Those are the four license plates, and we're starting to see more New Mexico. But those are the license plates that if you are on the road here anywhere, you're surrounded by California, Oregon, Washington, Minnesota, because those are the ones that they are all moving here out of those states. So, you know, and the thing is they're going to come here and they're going to vote for the same policies that made them leave the place in the first place.
Purple.
Yeah. So that's super frustrating, but yeah.
Yeah, it's scary. So I, as you know, rented a little RV about 2 months ago.
Was it 2 months ago?
And I went back to Oklahoma, and the whole test was, can I do this? And we had some interesting problems along the way. But actually, the key issue is, can you do it without getting sick? In other words, can you rest well? Can you, you know? And I slept like the dead. Really enjoyed it, especially if there's like wind or it was wonderful. So, as we've been telling people, one of the reasons I'm here is that my new truck that we have gotten to make this work is having the hitch installed as we speak right now. And tomorrow we take possession of the fifth wheel. And I'm very thankful that when I went back to Oklahoma, I was able to talk to guys who, people who do this type of stuff and get advice from them and able to understand this is the advantages of this way of doing it and that way of doing it and stuff like that. And so I think we've done it right. So yeah, I'm going to do a little test run here in a couple weeks. And then, first big trip will be, I think, 22 days long.
Why?
Because I don't want to have to spend 12 hours a day driving.
Okay.
So if you try to limit it to
mine.
Yeah. because you've got a 30-foot beast behind you if you're dragging along. So you it's not as enjoyable as just sitting there in your luxury car, and it's real easy. And so you've got to always be thinking about changing lanes, how much room you've got getting back, how much space you got for the person in front of you. And,
oh, you'll be a pro at the end of it.
Well, I hope so. I have to be to survive it. But I'm going up to Colorado, and in fact, I'm going to be speaking in Colorado Springs. Early August. It'll be a Tuesday with Jason Lyle. Jason Lyle and I are going to do something.
Who? Like
yeah. Who? Yeah. Jason Lyle.
Do you guys know? Have you ever heard of Jason Lyle?
If the weather's good, the first day I'm there. Because the thing's the second night I'm there. Yeah. You know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to be out.
Do you guys know what he's going to be doing? Have you heard of Jason Lyle? He's a star guy. He's the star guy.
He's probably
never heard of the star guy.
He's the star guy.
Had him on a couple times.
You have? Yes, you have.
He is so nice.
Isn't he? Is
He's the genuinely nicest person.
He is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And the amazing thing, what's special about Jason Lyle is he is incredibly humble.
Yeah.
And yet he is without a doubt, has the highest IQ of any man I've ever met.
So smart.
Yeah. I mean, he is so beyond genius, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he's, and I'm sure he would go, God's grace, God's grace.
This is the Jason Lyle appreciation segment.
It is. Look up Jason Lyle, Biblical Science Institute online, get on his email list, support him like I do. I support Jason Lyle. I think his work is that important. He's a go-to guy and he's always willing to, you know, I just give him the text and boom, he's very, very, very helpful. So anyways, we're going to go up through there. I'm going to be speaking Redemption Hills Church in Denver on Sunday. And then I'm going to be heading up through Wyoming and Montana. And I may see Squirrel. You know who Squirrel is.
Yeah.
Be quiet.
Yeah.
We're going to try to work something out.
And also Real Squirrel.
Yes.
Probably
I will see some Real Squirrel. And then I'm going to be speaking at Grace Benda in Moscow. That's a Friday, Saturday. And then, Lord willing, at one of the four locations of Christ Church on that Sunday. But that's...
You're really going to lose some more friends.
Yeah.
This is the losing more friends segment of the show. Doug Wilson is also a very nice person.
But that, I'm looking at the thing, that is like...
Really
you could you could spit at Canadians from up there. You really could.
Yeah.
It's so far north.
They don't want you.
They're going to be arming the border while I'm there. And but then I've got to get back. And again, if you're only doing 300-400 miles a day,
yeah,
it's your back. So I'm going to go through Reno, and we haven't actually nailed this down yet, but there's a church with, you know, the guy that I've been torturing with, Buddy Dale.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's in Reno.
So
it's almost like penance.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, he just posted a picture.
Yeah, very hard Twitter friends.
At his own church, people were giving him Buddy the Elf cup, coffee cups.
Yeah.
And
he just
doesn't seem to understand that this is how everyone shows love for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if they didn't care about him, they wouldn't be joining in and having fun at his expense.
Obviously.
So Chris just needs to understand this is all about love.
Yeah.
And someday you just have to watch out.
Love.
Yes, that's
Something like that.
So anyway, so it's gonna take a while. I mean,
yeah.
Nevada is a big state to go from north to south on. You know,
we drove that.
Oh, we did, and that was But again, I'm doing 65 at max over in the right hand lane.
Yeah.
As I must.
As I recommend.
That's right. So anyways, so it, we've put a email address up. Called roadtrip@aomin.org. Roadtrip, one word, roadtrip@aomin.org. And if your church would like to be considered, if you'd like to basically say, hey, if James is coming through like in September, I've got to go to G3. Mm. And so I've already had to start working on that trip because there are a number of times I'm going to have to stop somewhere. I look at the campgrounds, they're already reserved. They're already, especially during the summer, they're already filled up. So I'm already working on this stuff. And so if you want to, you know, very often this is going to be a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday type thing. And so if you want to do something on a Tuesday night, I know that's not what you normally do and stuff. It would probably be rather informal. It could just be a Q&A thing. It could just be a meeting with your elders. It could be something for the whole church. Whatever. Write to roadtrip@aomin.org. Give us your name and address, contact number, information, stuff like that. We are right now putting the database together. And then you can put that on an overlay on Google Maps. And then as I'm doing the routing, which is, I'm doing it, if I'm going to have to drive it, I sort of need to do it, then we can see, okay, we've got a church up here, I'd like to do something. Maybe I go up that direction, find a place to stay there, you know, that type of thing. And that's how we're going to work it all out. And, of course, trucks and fifth wheels do not come free. We've done a really good job in getting, I think, a quality setup that's going to last a long time. But if you'd like to help with those costs as well, the travel fund is active at aomin.org. You can go there and help us to defray those costs as well. Like, I don't know what this hitch is being put in today, but you don't skimp on the hitch.
No.
Okay. Because I'm thinking about some of the hills that I have to go down with this thing with a 9,000-pound creature attached to my rear axle chasing me down the hill. You want to have the best hitch on there you can have because going cheap really not a great at all. So, So yeah, we're going to be heading out, and I'm looking forward to that. And but like I said, once I get it all put together, I want to let people know. At the same time, there's a part of me that goes, that's not so smart, you know, that type of thing. You know, I mean, just security. You know, I'm alone. I don't have a fleet of black SUVs following me with Uzis in them.
You might. Like keep well, saying the things
well,
they're saying.
Well, that's true, but I meant friendly people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. People are saying, are you going to put A&O on the truck and something like that? No.
Yeah.
Nope. It's going to be incognito all the way. But anyways, we will let people know, at least for now, where I'm going to be going. I could foresee a day when we would do this. And there's Rich. Might have to start meeting in secret at the campsite with the elders of the church and like that. I could foresee a time. I really honestly could. So, but for now, we'll let people know if you're in the area. And so we get to go to a lot of smaller churches and stuff like that. And you know, I feel badly. I mean, theologians is what you do, but you're a homeschool mom. You don't get to travel as much. And you know what I hear all the time is a lot of these churches, people really love that stuff.
Yeah.
And prior, they said, we'd love to have a women's conference, stuff like that. And I've done it both. I've been to the big, big conferences.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to medium-sized conferences. I've been to small churches. It's more fun to be in the small churches.
I believe that.
You get to talk to folks. You get to take pictures. Did you hear me tell a story when I walked in prior the first night? As soon as I walked into the room, my eyes latched onto this 10 or 11-year-old girl. And the first thing I could tell was she's part of a homeschool family. Because there's a bunch of other kids around her, and they're just dressed like homeschool.
Okay? Yeah.
And the second thing was her face just like, does this number? And so immediately I know this poor child has had to watch the dividing line.
Watching
the dividing line since she was... So she could crawl, and
bless
she was
heart.
Just, oh gosh, you know.
I know.
And it was just so wonderful to get to, you know, have her stand next to me. We took pictures and, you know, all the rest of that kind of stuff. And you don't often get to do that, even though, for example, when I go to G3, ritual play, I will shake hands until, in fact, I gotta tell you a story. We were at G3 a couple of years ago. I was getting ready to pass out. I really was.
Yeah.
And Omaha went and got me, Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
So I could keep meeting the folks. I mean, the guy's got a servant's heart.
Chick-fil-A will keep you going.
And he went and got me Chick-fil-A at G3 because we wanted to meet the folks.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun at Grace Agenda. I went in 2018. I wasn't speaking or anything, but I went in 2018, and it was so fun meeting people. And that's the really cool thing about the church is wherever you go, you have family, and it's so fun to chat with people who, they feel like they know you, and you guys really, like, you really do have a lot in common, mm-hmm. whether or not you've met them before, and
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% certain on my topic yet. I'm taking somebody else's position, and what he was going to be addressing, I'm just not.
Well, the Presbyterian is not a girl party. Like, so you're going to have a great time.
Well, I'm actually saying.
Oh, well, you're, oh man. Okay.
He's got an RV hookup. So, I can pull my head in and.
Please send him home in one piece.
Please be gentle with the old man.
I've hung out with Dave before, so I hope I see you again.
Wow.
Wild up there. The man keeps pink bubblegum in his vehicle. I saw.
How did you say that once? Pink bubblegum.
Well, he was giving a whole bunch of people a ride. And so we were all in his very interesting Bronco, and it was all like, there was like muddy, like you, like
yeah,
all of us
Broncos
were like
muddy.
A little like dirty when we got out, and everything was like brown.
That's sort of like Gabe.
Like, I was like, is he like, what is he doing? Anyway, but the bright pink gum was right there. Anyway,
there you go. Yeah.
You'll have a good time.
I hope so. As long as I get there in one piece. It's thousands and thousands of miles of driving, so
I believe
it'll be interesting. Anyways, well, thanks, Summer, for joining me on the this is the second time.
Yeah.
We did it at the kitchen table up in, up in Vegas a while ago. I actually brought all the kids in then. But anyways, so.
It was fun.
It was, thank you very much for being on, and thank you all for joining us. And as far as I know, we should be back in studio in a regular Dividing Line format on Thursday. Lord willing, things could get thrown our direction, but hopefully on Thursday we'll see you then. Thanks for watching, and God bless.